If you have your Bible, there's a scripture that God put on my heart. In a day that's filled with sorrow, in days that are filled with brokenhearted people, in a day that it seems like that hopelessness abounds, there's still joy. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs, in the middle of a bunch of verses that seem to be the day by which we are living in. In the book of Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 22, the Bible says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." When I was thinking yesterday and Friday, I guess it was, when I first began to think this would be what I would be preaching here today, I thought about God and how that God created us, as I mentioned just a little bit ago, just a tidbit of that. God made everybody in this room with feelings, emotion, abilities to frown. This brother that was up here this morning about got my message. I thought, man, he's already talking about what I'm going to preach about tonight. The ability to frown and the ability to smile. The ability to cry. We express ourselves through sadness. We express ourselves through anger. And all of these emotions, believe it or not, are stirring through every person in this room right now. When I was thinking how I could open this message, I could not think of anything any better than what Sherry has told me in days gone by. I just love to hear a baby laugh. I thought, you know what? That's a way we need to start this message. Just laughing. Now, I know that there are those that are so seriously minded that they're going to think that I have lost my ever-loving mind tonight when I talk about some of the things I'm going to talk about. Sometimes we can be so seriously minded that we miss the joy of the Lord. We miss what God has given us, and we miss seeing what God wants us to see. I don't know how many times I have personally mentioned through preaching and through services that we've done about being optimistic or pessimistic. Some people see the glass half full and other people see the glass half empty. It's according to your view. You can go through life thinking about how sorry life is and how horrible life is. Or we can begin to view life through a different set of lenses that we can see the glory of God in all that we do. I'm going to tell on Horace. A couple of weeks ago, I ain't said nothing to him about it, but Horace took a picture of a butterfly and put it on Facebook. And ever since he put that picture on Facebook, I've paid more attention to my flowers at home, which are almost gone. And a few days ago, I seen this great, great old big, I think it was a black butterfly, like a monarch or something. There's a couple of different kinds, sitting on a flower. And just that butterfly on that flower, if I'm too emotional, I'm really sorry. I really am. I'm a big ham. I know that. But just that butterfly on that flower just gave me, Brother Steve, a sense of peace. I just looked at that butterfly and I thought just how beautiful it was. Just a sense of peace. In going through life, some of you, and Brenda mentioned it earlier to me about a friend of mine. His name is Don Braswell. Some of you know Don. He's got to be one of the most enjoyable people that I've ever been around in all of my life. I've had him here several times, and I've even had somebody one time when he was preaching tells me, "I don't like him. He cuts up too much." Well, maybe you ain't cutting up enough. Maybe you need to lighten up a little bit. But by the, I don't remember who that was. And if you're here tonight and I said that and you've, I just offended you, I'm sorry, because I don't even remember who told me that. But Don is a cut up. Don has got one of the most outgoing senses of personality that I've ever met. And he's absolutely dyed in the wool, a cut up, a jokester, if you will. I've been to Peru at least two times with Don. And I've been to Ecuador with Don. Don told me one time, he said, I just kind of keep things lighthearted to help people along, especially when we're this far away from home. And my friend, when I first went on a few mission trips, I was a ways from home, and I was glad when I got back. I almost kissed the ground in Miami the first time I ever went. I said, hey, I'm home. I can ride a bicycle from here. And some of you know what I'm talking about. But Don's the type of guy, he always makes you laugh. And he always is one to encourage you in your life. When I think about life and I think about things that you may or may not be going through tonight, I don't know. I don't try to figure out why I preach what I preach. I just preach it. I just do what God tells me to do. But life has a way of making us hard emotionally. Somehow life, when we go through tragedies in life and things in life, and it seems like that you've been dealt the wrong hand in life. Somehow life comes and life takes the smile off your face. That baby that was laughing, that baby may still be locked up on the inside of you somewhere. And maybe that baby needs to laugh again. But yet I think about life, and sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes always seeing anguish and pain, and sometimes we live on the burdensome side of life. And again, we think about it and we go through life in some form of just a non-emotional state. But all the time, you've got all this bottled up on the inside of you that it seems like that if the wrong thing happened, it would be like a ticking time bomb getting ready to explode. But yet I think about myself and I think about where I have been in my own life through ministry and through my own life. And I've always tried to see the better side of the situation. I've always tried to look at what God might be trying to teach me as I walk through this journey that we call life. So we think about how that the scripture teaches us that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, I don't know, there is a doctor in the house, and he is a very gracious man, Dr. Dean, and I love him with all my heart. I'm not a doctor. But there was a PhD that wrote this and actually said this about laughter. And it says, a good sense of humor and laughter relieves physical tension and stress. Now, y'all have not heard me preach like this. I know that. I know that. I knew that coming in here. But I hope I help somebody tonight. But a good sense of humor and laughing relieves physical tension and stress. It stimulates the circulatory system and helps our muscles to relax. You are a human, right? You are body, soul, and spirit. But it says that this in turn assists in relieving some of the symptoms of stress. The positive relaxation effects can last up to 45 minutes after a good, hard, and I inject belly laugh. That baby was having a belly laugh because that baby saw a black Labrador retriever eating popcorn. That baby probably had never seen that before in all of her life. The smacking of the mouth and the saliva. Hey, I got a dog, Bella. I've preached about Bella before. Bella is she's about 6-year-old now. She was born in 16. She is a registered Boston Terrier that I never registered because I didn't want to go through all that. I can be eating something on the couch. I got two Boston Terriers and one Millie Mae. Millie Mae is a miniature golden doodle, okay? I guess that's what happens when your children move out and your grandchildren live in different places. You just get dogs. Anyway, a few weeks ago, and this has happened so many times, and I'm not meddling tonight just for the sake of meddling, and I'm not lost of words because I'm trying to get somewhere with this message. That dog idolizes me, don't she? I move, that dog moves. I sit, that dog sits. I move, she moves. And she's always within visual proximity of me, except when I'm outside working or she's in her kennel. But I was eating something the other day. I don't know what it was. I have no clue what it was. And it don't matter what it was. As long as I was eating it, she wanted it. Some of y'all got dogs and you know what I'm talking about. That dog was absolutely, Stanley, sitting on my lap and she was drooling all over me. I mean, she was just saliva coming out both sides of her mouth because she wanted whatever it was that I was eating. And I'm thinking, you mutt, you're messing up my clothes. But she was having herself a time. And I said that to say this. It's simply in life, it's the little simple things in life that bring us joy. It's the little simple things in life. We sometimes are missing the beauty of God because somehow or another, all we can see is what we would associate as the great big things. Again, the positive relaxation effects can last up to 45 minutes after a good, hearty laughter. Now, I don't know this. I'm not a doctor, but this guy wrote this. He said endorphins are released into the bloodstream, and it is a natural pain reliever to promote a sense of relaxation and well-being. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that the Bible said that laughter doeth good like a medicine. If there's anything we need to do, there's these people that we've heard of on Christian TV, Shonda Pierce. There's this guy named Mark Lowry that always makes fun of Bill Gaither. And all throughout these videos and things throughout life, these people have tried to bring laughter to the body of Christ. And you think, well, it don't take all of that today. If it didn't take it, it wouldn't be in the God's Word. I believe that the church is serious as we are. As serious as we are, yes, I believe in the rapture. Yes, I believe in the coming of the Lord. Yes, I still believe that sin is sin and wrong is wrong. And I believe in all of that. But I believe there's a sense of joy that the church needs to regain. And I believe that we, again, as the church, people of God, we need to learn how to laugh again. There's some scriptures that I've chosen this evening to share with you, and one of those is in Psalm 34. We're just going to jump around some Psalms here for a minute. Psalms 34 in verse number 18, and this is actually what it says there, because it talks to us as we look at this as the brokenhearted, and he says that God is, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. What is the positive effect of that scripture right there? Thank you, Jen. The positive effect of that scripture right there is if you are a child of God and you came here with a broken heart, God wants to restore you and God wants you to laugh again. He says the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart. But yet he says on the backside of that, he saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Again, we're looking at Psalms 30 and 5. You know the scripture very, very well. And it actually is a scripture we've read before. But even no matter what you're going through, God promises you some things in the Word of God. You may be going through some things right now. You may be undergoing some tests right now. And he says here in the Word of God, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Again, the scripture says weeping may endure for the night. I need to tell somebody in this room tonight, just hold on to God and don't give up, because God is going to make you to be able to laugh again. And God said, I'm going to restore your laughter in your heart again. My God, I never expected to preach like this on laughter. But he says, weeping may endure for the night, It's just a test. It's just a time. It's a season. It's a storm. It's a temporary situation. But God said, when you hold on to me, weeping may endure for the night. Somebody maybe in the room, you've said, God, when is it going to change? When is it going to shift? When is there going to be something different in my life again than what I've been going through for 6 months, a year? Now, you may not agree with me, and that's okay. We can disagree and still be great friends. But this whole mess with COVID, I don't know where it come from besides hell. I have no idea if it come out of Wuhan or China or wherever it came from. I have no idea. But I'm going to tell you one thing this thing's tried to do for you and me and the world and the church and everything else and gas prices, the economy and everything else. Sherry and I went through Ingles the other day to get our favorite coffee, Maxwell House coffee. My Lord have mercy, it was $6.98 a couple of weeks ago on sale. It was $15.98 for a little old thing of coffee. And I'm going to myself, hey, ain't buying that no more. Luckily, I had a little put up at the house, you know what I mean? And I didn't say that for y'all to go out and buy coffee. That's not what I'm saying that for. I know y'all. I'm going to go get the preacher some coffee. We don't want the preacher to be without coffee. But my point is this, that this whole thing that we've been through in the last couple of years, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen so much distress? Have you ever seen so much despair? Have you ever looked into the face of people and it seems like there's absolutely no hope? Doom and gloom and sorrow and everything that's come along with that. But I got good news for you, friend. No matter if coffee goes to $15.98 a jug, hey, that don't change my joy. It don't change me. I'm going to keep laughing. I'm going to keep having joy in my heart. You say, well, what happens if you ain't got the money to buy this and to buy that and to do this and to do that? Hey, honey, let me tell you something. I ain't worried about it. God knows how to take care of His people. And God will take care of you, and God will take care of me. I believe that. With all that is within me, even though we look at this scripture and we see what He says, a cheerful heart can include laughter. A cheerful heart can include laughter. When we think about the heart being merry, we think about the inward working of Jesus Himself. We think about what Jesus has done for us. We think about laughter, if you will, as being an outward expression of what God has done on the inside of the man and the woman's heart this evening. Just as Scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, as a reflection of what's going on in your heart. So laughter comes forth out of a heart that is filled with happiness. Amen. And again, we look around in amazement at how many people used to laugh. You might be sitting here in this room. I want to ask you a few questions. How long has it been since you laughed and laughed with someone and not at someone? Don't laugh at people. Laugh with people. How long has it been since you or people that you've been around that at one time in your life, you just sat around and had family time together and you just sat around and laughed together? Hey, before cell phones and before all the stuff that we do now, can you imagine people actually sitting in a living room and talking to one another? Instead of having these things and talking to somebody else somewhere else. I mentioned that a few weeks ago. I'll be honest with you. There's times I need to throw this thing in a toilet somewhere to stop my toilet up, but I need to get rid of it because oftentimes I'm watching more about what's going on in all these places out here. Me and Sherry sitting there together and we ain't saying a word to one another. Oh, don't look at the preacher like that. Guilty, 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 guilty. I is. We do talk a lot together. We do. Honestly, most of our talking has to do with church work. Most of the time. Somebody says, y'all need a break. I'm going to get one next week, God willing. Laughter. How long has it been since you just had a good laugh? Oh, if I could read people's minds, and I can't. Somebody in the back of their mind said, it's been a long time. And that's why God sent me by here tonight to preach to you on laughter. I've never really preached this too much, I don't think. I look in the scripture and I see laughter 38 different times. It's used in some form throughout the scripture. And there's different individuals throughout the scripture that are tied into laughter. Now, I know we're going somewhere with this for just a few more minutes. I'm not going to be real long tonight. But one of the greatest examples that we have of laughter is who? Abraham and Sarah. We see that God told them, and with Abraham and Sarah, when I was studying through this, it's like this type of laughter was a laughter of unbelief. A laughter of unbelief. Because God had told them what He was getting ready to do. It's like God saying, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to bring you out. You're not going to stay like this forever. I've got plans for your life, and I've got something right around the corner for you. Just be faithful. God's going to see you through. And in the back of our mind, we're going, oh, really? You've got to be kidding me, God. My circumstances have been like this so long that, and I've done that. Horace Leonard knows I've done that. I've talked to Horace about things in my own personal life that I'm going, I don't know how in the world it's going to work out. And sometimes, Brother Steve, I still tell myself, it's got to work out. God's got it. It's going to work out. Sarah and Abraham, you know the story. It's over in the book of Genesis. There's a couple of different places we're going to turn, and we can see there in the book of Genesis how this all begins to unfold. We can see it first in chapter number 17. We can see it there where that God knew that Abraham was an elder man. He was, again, when you look at this, he was 99 years old. You know the story better than me. Genesis chapter 17. He was 99 years old. Now, I think Brother Cain, I've said this before, he's 91, I believe. So you can imagine a man that's probably 8 years older than Brother Cain, and God speaking to him, showing up and saying, I'm going to make you a father. Really? Now, I would say, I'd look over my shoulder and say, you've got to be kidding me. Hey, I'd probably run and say, not me. I ain't starting all over now. Not me. No way, Jose. Not me. But God did that. So in this, we can see, and again, I'm not going to take the time to read every bit of that, but God promised Abraham this, and He said that He was going to establish His covenant with him. If you look over in verse number 15, you can see that. And God said to Abraham and Sarai, He said, thy wife, and thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. Verse 16 says, and I will bless her. That's a good thing. I will bless her and give thee a son. What are you talking about? I will bless her and give her a son. Now, look at this. And it says, also of her, yea, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of many nations. Kings and people shall be of her. We know the story. We look back on it and we realize that. Look at verse number 17. It's one of those things where that God said, maybe back, Abraham said back to God, and I don't know how it was, but in my own mind, I'm thinking to myself, you've got to be kidding. So Abraham fell on his face. Let me just think this through for a minute. I don't know. I think he had a sand-kicking belly laugh on that occasion. I mean, I think he was kicking up his heels and skirt and everything else, laughing. I don't know if that worked or not, but he said, God, you've got to be kidding. Commentary said this particular type of laughing could be considered a laugh of disbelief or a laugh of unbelief. Many times when God's making us a promise, we don't hold on to the promises of God. And it said that Abraham laughed when he fell on his face and said in his heart, right out of his heart. And he says here, it says, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? You get into Ishmael and you get into the story of Ishmael and you see there. But yet in verse 21, again, the Bible says, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at a set time in the next year. And he left off talking with God, talking with him. And God went up from Abraham. So God come to Abraham and God made him this promise. And God told him that Sarah was well stricken in age, but yet God said that you're going to have a child. When I think about that, I think about how many of us have held on to the promises of God and we've not yet seen them coming. And even today in the hour that we're living in, we would almost laugh if we really believed that God would do what God said he would do. Take the Word of God, the Bible, for example. When God's made you and I promises today, and we as of yet have not seen those promises come to fruition, but we're still believing God. We're still believing that God is going to rescue and God is going to deliver and God's going to do exactly what God said he would do. When Abraham and Sarah was there, we see this again in the Word of the Lord. And it says there in the scripture in verse number 11 of chapter 18, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she was way past childbearing at this time in her life. 90-year-old. And once again, we see in this verse where the Bible says in verse number 12, the Bible said, if you look at that, it says, if you see this, and Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also. There's different types of laughter and throughout the scripture, and I'm not going to take the time to walk through all of those, but you can read about those yourself when you get time. But again, the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Wherefore did Sarah laugh? Now, this would be to me one of those things that I would look at as God making them a promise, and wherefore did you doubt the promise of God that he would be able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you and I could ever think or ask? And then we see here in the scripture where the Bible says, and the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, surely I of a surety bear a child which am old, with a question mark. And then the question in verse number 14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Verse 15, and it said, and Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, thou didst laugh. This was one of those times in the scripture where the Bible says that it was possibly a laugh of denial or a laugh of unbelief or disbelief. And I don't want to use the word a mockery, but that's too strong of a word. But it's when God has made us a promise, the next one we think about it, you can read this all through our text this evening in Proverbs, but yet I wanted to zero in on one spot. Again, when you think about this in Ecclesiastes, that's over there in the Old Testament, the preacher. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 and verse number 6. It's a very strange verse. But yet you look at it and you see it as what God is actually saying to those who are described as a fool. Because it talks about those that deny God and those that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. It's those people today that you and I talk to, and the reports that we heard earlier from Brother Terry, and they laugh you to scorn and they look at you in absolute total disbelief, laughing and mocking. Ecclesiastes 7 and 6, kindly a strange verse. It says, for as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of a fool. Now get a picture of a pot over top of a campfire, and it's filled with thorns, if you will, brush or whatever, thorns. And it says, so is the laughter of a fool. This also is vanity. commentary actually said this. It says that this verse pictures a hanging pot over a fire with thorns burning under it, making a crackling noise, if you will. And it says the thorns and the crackling of the thorns, if you will, as they burn and they are consumed, and there's nothing left but cold, gray embers of silence. The laughter of a fool is like that. He is miserable even while he's laughing, when what they say is fun is over and nothing, and nothing left. In other words, people that get paid on Friday, they burn up all of their paycheck by Sunday evening on booze or drugs and all the things that they feel, trying to fill the void that's in their heart. But yet they will laugh at you, and they will laugh at God, and they will say, you know, they will say all kinds of ruthless things about you and I, the church, and Jesus. But yet the Bible said that he's like a fool that will spend everything and waste everything, blabber with his mouth, if you will. And when everything's burned up and gone away, there's nothing left but vanity in his life. So there's a laugh of the fool. So then we look not only that, we look at the benefits of laughter. Again, when you look at the scripture, there's different places in scripture that you can turn. Proverbs 12 and 25. We've been in Proverbs a little bit. When you look at this in the scripture in Proverbs 12 and 25, there's a couple of places that you can read there. And I'm actually going to turn there with you to make sure I wrote it down correctly. And he says that heaviness in heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. One translation of that says this, that anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Man, have we ever lived in a day of anxiety? A day when it seems like that it's on a rampart. But yet it's all a trick of Satan to steal, to kill, and destroy, and to rob you of the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and the joy of the Lord that becomes our strength. And the enemy of our soul comes and steals away the laughter that God put within you. As the Bible says, that laughter is like a medicine. Proverbs 15 and 13, again, when you look in the Proverbs, we will look at this again in verse number 15 and 13. As we look at this text, it says, a merry heart maketh cheerful countenance. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. They tell me, and I don't know. I'd have to ask Dr. Dean, since he's the doctor in the house. They tell me it takes more muscles in the muscular makeup, the anatomy of the facial structure, that it takes more muscles to actually frown than it does to smile. That's what they say. I don't know that. But you know what? I believe that a good smile is like medicine. Because you can look at somebody. Hey, let me tell you a little quick story. I don't know if anybody in the building is from Peru. I don't know if you're from Peru. Help me understand this. When we was in Peru, what do you do in America if you wave at somebody? They nod. They wave back. They acknowledge. I was hoping somebody would wave at me. They wave back. When I was in Peru the first time in 2005, we were in a bus, a vehicle. Here I was. Man, I was chirpy. I was cheery. I was trying to just make everybody feel happy. Me and Don cutting up and making everybody laugh and everything. So here we are riding in the bus. I started waving at people like I was the president, you know. And Russell, they just looked at you so solemn. And they looked straight through you like ice. They don't know the gestures of a handshake or a wave. I took a public speaking class at Haywood Community College years ago. And we talked about gestures and how that we make contact and how we publicly communicate with other people. Well, I was just doing what I was taught in college. I just wanted to wave at somebody. You think you're a nut. I know. At least I'm on the right boat. Come on, somebody. So when we look at this, it says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. How long has it been since you just absolutely smiled at somebody for no other reason but to be friendly? And the Bible says, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. And my friend, that goes both ways. Because people tell me all the time, well, they walk right by me and didn't even shake my hand. Well, step out in front of them. Yeah, it works both ways. You say, well, they don't smile and they're not friendly to me. Step out in front of them. Put a smile on your face. You get the point. You be the initiator of kindness. You be the initiator of goodness. You be the initiator. The Bible says if we learn to laugh again, that it's like medicine. Again, when we think about the medical factor of a merry heart, one man said it like this. He said, hey, if you learn to laugh again, your medical bills might go down. If it's like a medicine. Said, according to, again, the study, it says, when the benefits of laughter. What is the benefits of personal laughter? And again, I don't know this for a fact. I'm not a medical doctor. Says your heart rate and your lungs are stimulated. Hey, if you laugh, you might get a good breath of fresh air. Especially that baby. I might want to show that baby again. You get her ready up there. It might, if you laugh and learn to laugh, it lowers your blood pressure. And you breathe better. It opens up your airways. And let me say this. There's a lot of clean laughter. Everything don't have to circle around being vulgar and mean and nasty and ugly. And I want to say this again, not laughing at people, but laughing with people. Maybe you're the one. Maybe I'm the one. Maybe I'm the one that needs to be the more lighthearted one in a crowd of people to lighten everybody else's load around me. I hate to say this, and Sherry, don't get upset at me when I say this. I don't mention my son much. Very, very little. Very little, for a lot of reasons. There are times in his life, even in all of his struggles. Yeah, Aaron's got a great sense of humor. But there have been times in my life when I've listened to him, and he lives in Asheville now, anyway. Maybe I shouldn't have said that online. I don't know. But there have been times in his life I've heard him laugh. And all the suffering that I've watched him go through because of a lot of things, Brother Steve, it brought me joy just to hear him laugh over top of his pain. And when I would hear him laugh, I would think with my own heart, there's still hope. There's still hope. It's still there. And let me just say it the way I feel it. That little boy is still on the inside of him. He's still there. I don't know. I'm just preaching the way I felt in my heart to do this. Maybe there's a little boy or a little girl inside of you that's not laughed in a long, long time. I'll be honest with you. I know there is in me. I know there is. We get joy out of different things, and we go through different things in life. But folks, if we're going to make it, let's make it together. My Lord, if you got an ill with somebody, go to them privately and say, hey, I want you to forgive me. If you got an ill with somebody, take care of it. I don't think they'll cuss you out. I don't think they'll be mad at you. I think they'll say thank you. I don't know. I hope that's not the case, but I had to apologize to my little sister. Over a year went by. And she had a baby, and she told her husband, if you see Alan Green out there on the street somewhere, you don't let him see my baby. That's how bad it got between me and my sister. God got a hold of my heart. I still live in Waynesville, so that was many, many, many years ago. 20 years ago, or it was 25 or so years ago, long, long time ago. Me and her's just like this now. I mean, we are best friends. But God told me, this is the weekend. You better get this straightened out. Almost verbatim, you better get this straightened out. That's when we had house phones and we didn't have cell phones. I came home after church that night. I picked up the phone. I called her number. I said, Beth, and son, she lit in on me like a matched fuse. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I'd say it if she's sitting right there. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, I called to apologize to you because I was wrong in how I spoke to you and how I did what I did. You know what she did? She said, oh, okay. Bingo! Duh! And since that day till this, yes, I've learned to watch my mouth in the last 25, huh? In the last 25 years, she told me that I walk on water in her eyes. Hey, since then, my little sister's got saved. My little sister got baptized right back there. Her husband and her. I baptized her. Yes, ma'am. What would have happened if I had to put a smile back on my face and decided that I was going to lay the hatchet down? I was going to bury the blade and bury the handle too, so I don't have nothing to reach back there and get a hold of. Stand with me. I'm meddling. I got a few more scriptures. If I've ever felt God tell me to preach something, I believe God told me to preach it. You might be the only smile. You might be the only laughter. You say, well, we're not allowed to laugh on our job. What? I'd almost want to tell you to change jobs. Nah, I ain't going to do that. You just keep on laughing. You just keep laughing with people. And sometimes you might put yourself out there a little bit and people might think you're a little bit goofy or whatever. When you know you're not. But just lie.